Riding a bike is a bizarre and unnatural action that for some reason we as a human society have decided is a perfectly normal thing for most able-bodied humans to be capable of accomplishing. It's probably the most presumptuous and alienating thing that has achieved the classification of normal since the invention of stairs as a means to ascend from one level of construction to another. Anyone hesitant to or incapable of the use of a bicycle is seen as lacking motivation and directed to a number of lesser bicycle alternatives that, while legitimate means of locomotion, are still seen as subordinate to the almighty bicycle. It's a bizarre and random ascent for a machine that is so needlessly complicated and reliant on a level of physical dexterousness found only through the psychological manipulation of children. The normalizing, since the late 19th century, of the bicycle as a ubiquitous means of transportation is more indicative of the stubbornness of the human spirit than of any sort of practicality in the invention itself. In other words, I never learned how to ride a bike. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and bike riding, as my introduction hopefully makes clear, baffles me. It is like religion or sports fandom, something that intellectually makes sense in the abstract, but that I find upsettingly confounding in the real world. Like, I see people riding bikes, and I think to myself, what is their secret? What do they know? What did they figure out in their early years? What revelation were they privy to? Who held their hands? Who walked them through it? Who explained it to them? Who planted the appropriate seeds in their minds that were able to blossom into the ability we see before us on the streets? Who, in a word, taught them to ride a bike? A wizard? It had to have been a wizard. Everyone has access to this wizard but me. I received my first bicycle late in life. I was well into elementary school, and my neighborhood friends were all starting to learn to ride. So, for my birthday, I was gifted a brand new black bicycle. I still remember my parents rolling it out onto the back patio in the middle of my birthday party. I remember eyeing it skeptically but optimistically. I remember seeing it as a challenge with the ultimate reward of speed and freedom. I remember falling onto the concrete over and over and over again as I couldn't get the ding-dang thing to stay upright for more than a second. I remember my dad losing his patience with me. I remember my mom losing my patience with my dad and trying to get him to relax because he wasn't helping. I remember giving up and deciding that walking was more my speed. I remember lying to my friends about my bike being broken or lost or stolen. I remember being found out over and over again by friends that I couldn't ride a bike, that I could never ride a bike, that my circle of freedom was limited to wherever my legs could carry me on my feet. I remember that black bike hanging upside down from the ceiling of the garage and never moving and never being replaced by a larger model and then one day disappearing with no fanfare or ceremony, just gone. Just gone. I remember getting my license and thinking, well, I never have to worry about that again. I remember turning down biking trips and expeditions with friends. I remember a guy in my dorm proudly showing off his new bike and me thinking, adults buy these things? These things cost how much? I remember feeling once again that I was forever on the outside of normalcy. Of the expected, of the capable, that like religion and sports and grades and friends and socializing and understanding and trusting and believing, bicycling was forever beyond me. That I was excluded and rejected and that I should wear that fact as a badge of shame and honor. I never learned to ride a bike. Over the years, I have tried. I have sat upon a banana seat and gripped the banana bars and kicked off and coasted and each time found that old feeling of no and forget it and here comes the concrete. And I've choked and remembered my place and where I belong and resigned myself to the forever of inadequacy and instability. I guess that's why the bike lesson has never struck me so much as funny as a dire warning. It's the Berenstain Bears, the bike lesson. It's actually called The Bike Lesson, Another Adventure of the Berenstain Bears by Stan and Jan Berenstain. And yes, I have covered this book in the past. You are not mistaken. This is not the first time you've seen me cover this. However, I am going much more into detail this time than I did the last time, because it's a look back at the second book featuring the bear family. We covered The Honey Hunt before a few weeks ago, and now we are on to the second beginner book. I can read it all by myself, The Bike Lesson. And this book is a monument, is a milestone in the Berenstain Bears universe, because this is the first book in which Ted Geisel referred to them in print as the Berenstain Bears, which he said was just because it sounded good and was like his little tribute to old vaudeville shows with animal acts. And it's the first book in which Stanley and Janice Berenstain are presented as Stan and Jan, because that's what they called each other, and it rhymes, and it has a certain delightful sound to it. And from this point on, they were known as Stan and Jan Berenstain, and the Bears were known as the Berenstain Bears. I'm going to take these headphones off because they're not actually doing anything, and they might be causing me to yell. So in the last book we covered from this era, The Big Honey Hunt, we saw sort of the makings of the bear family. But they were still pretty much just sort of an extrapolation of the three bears, from Goldilocks and the three bears, a mom and a papa and a small bear. And they didn't have much personality. The papa was gruff but lovable. He had an idea in his head, and he was just stubborn and pig-headed and stick to it. And we're going to see a lot of the same stuff reflected here. I believe it was, Paul V. Allen in his book, I Can Read It All By Myself, The History of the Beginner Books, which I highly recommend, once again, you picking up. He talks about how this is doesn't stray very far from the setup of the first book. The bears look a little more refined. They still are scruffy and scrubby looking, but the backgrounds and the illustrations in this book are a lot more confident. The structure is a lot more confident. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say the characterization of the bears is coming into their own. They're no longer just a random bear family of a mama, a papa, and a child. Papa is shown in this book to be still pig-headed, still stubborn, but lovable. He never gets angry at his son. He accepts a little more, he's a little more cowed at the end of this book. It's not, I screwed up the entire time, but everything turned out for the best, so I must have been right the whole time anyway. His demeanor comes across as far more contrite and embarrassed at what he's put his son through. And his son's a little more snarky in this book. And we're going to see that develop throughout the rest of this period of the Berenstain Bears, the father and son dynamic. Now, Mama is still pretty much a non-character at this point. They haven't figured out what to do to her. And I'll go so far as to say that Mama's not going to come into her own until they develop the first time books, where she becomes, for a while, the voice of reason, the voice of discipline. But as far as like this book is concerned, she's barely there. I think she's in this book once. I think she may just pop up at the end. But this is the bike lesson. So this is the bike lesson. The bike lesson, another adventure of the Berenstain Bears, as it says on the cover. And so they weren't originally going to write this book. They had Nothing Ever Happens at the South Pole, which was going to be a book of a penguin complaining that his life is dull because nothing ever happens at the South Pole. And as he walks through the South Pole, just various catastrophes and bizarre things are happening that he just barely misses out on seeing until he gets back home safe and sound. And this, they had it ready to go. They were all geared up, but pre-sales for the Big Honey Hunt were through the roof. And so Ted Geisel, who had already told them he didn't want to find themselves burdened by a series, suddenly did a complete 180 and decided that this was going to be the first series for the I Can Read books, for the beginner book series. He was like, no, we got to have a series. This is going to be our series. It's going to be the Berenstain Bears. So the bike lesson. What is the bike lesson? What's the bike lesson about? Let's take a look. So first, we have delightful end pages, which are representative of the entire book. It's Papa talking over his shoulder. He's riding a bicycle, a red bicycle, talking over his shoulder to Small Bear while he is about to plummet between the gap of two, like in a canyon. He's like on a mountain, a winding mountain path, and there's a gap in the road coming up. There is a board placed across the gap that will allow him to go across, but only if he sees it, only if he knows that it's actually coming. It's an amusing bit of end pages that shows kind of what we're in store for here. Papa not paying attention to what he's doing while he's trying to instruct his son on the way to ride a bicycle. But what is the actual story here? Is there an actual story? Does this even count as a story? So at the beginning, we see Papa approaching the Bear Family treehouse with a new bicycle for his son, and Mama is in the window. I love the way the bears looked back in these days. I love the way the treehouse looked. Everything was sketchy and loose. I love the scruffiness of the characters. I love the ways their expressions were. Yes, this was untenable. You couldn't have used these characters as very expressive. Their emotions had to be so much more extreme in the way the snouts were designed and the way the faces were designed at this point. But it was clear they had a good thing going. It was clear that they had a handle on these characters, and they were only going to get better from here on out. And from the first image of this book, which is Papa carrying the bike up to the treehouse, Brother Bear or Small Bear pointing at, look, I've got a new bike, and Mama Bear in the window, we know who these characters are. Mama has a look on her face that basically says, this is going to be something. This is going to be the day. This is our day. This is whatever is going to happen is going to make, it's just going to make the day. This is it. This is what we're dealing with today is Papa with this bike. And I like it. I like it. I like the way it looks. I like the way it feels. It's very homey. It's very almost folk art. And yeah, I like this period of Berenstain illustration. So Small Bear is very excited. He runs to the bike. Papa stops him and is like, no, you can't take the bike out for a ride yet. I've got to teach you the ins and outs of bike riding. So Papa's going to demonstrate how to ride this bike. And the first thing that happens is he gets on it and falls over. He sits in the bike saddle and he falls right over. It's worth noting at this point that bicycles had only, in the 1960s, bicycles as a regular mode of transportation had only been available to the general public for less than 100 years. They were developed in the early 19th century. The idea, the concept of what we think of as a bicycle in the early part of the 19th century, in 1815, 1816, Mount Tambora erupted in April of 1815. Global temperatures dropped. 1816 was known as the year without a summer because there was no summer. The global temperature was so low because of the eruption of Mount Tambora, which like blocked out the sunlight, that all around the world, the temperature dropped, crops failed, and the price of oats, because of this, skyrocketed. So there was an energy crisis because our society was powered by oats because horses ate oats. Horses started dying off. People ended up having to slaughter horses for food or to sell, you know, for income. And at the time, there's this middle-class guy named Karl Drais. He was this German landowner, nobleman, I think, middle-class, but he had connections. And he was an inventor. And he decided that because of the oat scarcity and because of the lack of horses, we needed an alternate form of transport to get people around. Now, this isn't stated explicitly, but enough research has gone into the history of the bicycle that the Karl Drais, the connection to the eruption of the volcano as the inspiration for the invention of the bicycle is documented enough that if it's not 100% true, I find it charming. And I mean, it makes sense historically. There was an oat scarcity. Labor animals were dying. We did need a form of transportation for delivery and things like that. So he invents a two-wheeled velocipede that he calls like a running machine or something. It's a two-wheeled. It's essentially a glider bike that you see now. In fact, well, we'll get to that. So he invents this two-wheeled device that you push along the ground with your legs. It has rudimentary. I think the steering is only available like by leaning. It's very rough. But it gets it gets, so the idea is you're going to replace horses with human-powered movement and balance. So it has an ash frame, it has brass bushings, it has a rear brake, and it's called, because his last name is Drace, the Dracene. And it's the first balanced two-wheeled vehicle. It is bootlegged and brought to England and other countries, and it is semi-popular, but then two things happen. One, the oat shortage ends, and two, communities start having bicycle bans on their sidewalks. And because you can't bicycle on the ground because there was no real roads like that were conducive to a comfortable biking experience, it became seen as a fad. Also, it became known as the hobby horse or the dandy horse in England, which was a pejorative term because dandies, these sort of foppish, upper middle class men were the ones who were associated with these Dracenes. And so they really fell out of fashion. So there were safety issues. There was no really to really ride them. So after 1820, they fell out. Now, what's funny is Drace ends up dying penniless, 1851. And he was ridiculed in his death, and he was left out of the history of bikes for decades and like almost a century. And it's only been recently that his work has suddenly been appreciated for what it was. And in fact, what I was saying before is that children's balance bikes are this. They are literally what he invented, just with better steering. But it took 100 years for people to realize that training wheels aren't the way to go. And that the Dracene, the hobby horse, the dandy horse was the way to learn how to balance on a bike and gain confidence. And that's really all I wanted to talk about was the fact that I was just reading about the Dracene. And then I read this great article it's from New Scientist. And the article is called Brimstone and Bicycles. It's about a 10-minute read. So give that a look. Brimstone and Bicycles from New Scientist. It's a great article about the invention of the bicycle and how everything sort of came from this well. You'll see some people who believe that, like, Leonardo da Vinci invented the bicycle. He didn't. The drawing that was attributed to him in the 1960s was actually drawn by a monk in the 1960s who was just doodling on a Leonardo da Vinci drawing. So, you'll see a lot of claims to earlier versions of the bicycle. In Japan, the Rikushu Honsha was a proposed idea for a vehicle in the 18th century that was never worked on. It was never developed. And it was more of a three-wheeled rickshaw that could be powered by pedals. Like, you would stand in the back and pedal it. So that wasn't really a bicycle, and it has since been developed. People, like hobbyists, have since developed this sort of alternate history bicycle, but it was not worked on in the 18th century. So, and then there was the Califere in 1792 at the Palais Royal. Then it went through like the penny farthing. And I think we've talked about this in the past. Then onto the safety bike, which became what we think of as the modern day bicycle. The two wheels of roughly the same size, the rear chain that powers it so your legs don't get caught up in the spokes. The invention of spokes, like all that, the rubber tires, like all that came together to form the bicycle. Something I still don't understand. What a bizarre machine. Also, the invention of the transmission of power from the pedal to the chain to the spokes to the wheels, that all took a long time to develop, gear shifting, things like that. Stuff I don't understand why. Never learned how to ride a bike. So where were we? All right, Papa Bear. Where are you, Papa Bear? He's got on the bike. He's fallen over. You can't balance on a bike standing still, Papa. You got to move forward, which he does. So he gets up and he tells his son, I'm going to teach you before you are allowed to get on this bicycle, I'm going to teach you the safety rules, the regulations, the ins and outs of riding. Clotheslines himself on a tree branch, and brother's like, or son, small bear is like, is this it? This is good? This is what you wanted to teach me about? This is your idea of a good lesson then? Mine a papa, my papa bear. It's good. Thank you for the lesson. Can I ride it now? Now that you've shown me how to ride it. And of course, Papa's like, haha, I wasn't not actually done doing what I wanted to do. You have a lot more to learn. So the next lesson is I'm going to teach you how to turn your bicycle. And of course, by doing that, he drives straight into a bunch of rocks that he that he rides his bicycle into, and ends up somehow he flies through the air, lands with his head in a chimney, or he lands on a thatched roof. And I love this. We don't see this style of house much. It's like a cabin on the edge of a cliff with stairs leading down, and a stone fireplace, a stone chimney up the side with a thatched roof or a hay roof. And Papa has landed upside down on the hay roof with his head in the chimney. It's an undignified place for a Papa to be. And Small Bear is like, what did you mean to do that? And he's like, yeah, I did this on purpose. This is what you must never do. Let this be a lesson to you. And Small Bear's like, it was, Dad. Thanks. It was definitely a lesson. Now, hold on. I'll help you get down. And so Small Bear builds a bridge out of boards. And it's a very, I have to applaud my hands. Have to applaud my hands. Have to applaud my hands to Stanley and Janice Berenstain, Stan and Jan Berenstain, for this incredibly complicated image of Small Bear having put two boards together, balanced them on a rock, and then put the end of the taller of the boards up onto the thatched roof in order to haul Papa Bear, who has folded in on himself. So his head is now stuck up between his legs, but also he's tangled in a bicycle on the roof of a house. It is, and Small Bear is tugging on Papa Bear's shirt to pull him down, but also smiling. And he's like, when I get you down, may I ride it then? May I? Just say when. And I don't understand, like, they didn't have to do this. They didn't have to go this far with the complicated drawings, but they did for us, for the readers. It's a bizarre image, Stan and Jan. It's unasked for, but appreciated. So then Papa Bear is like, look, I have to teach you your next lesson, which is what to do when you drive around a puddle. Do you go around the puddle or do you go right through the puddle? Papa Bear decides he's going to go right through the puddle, which is like quicksand, I guess, because he drives into the puddle and he ends up to his chest in mud, which Small Bear's like, great, thanks. I guess that's a good lesson. You're not supposed to do that, eh? Hold on real quick. I'll get this stick. You make the use of a simple machine. He builds like a seesaw lever using a giant branch and a stump to lever Papa out of the mud. And he's like, look, I'm going to get you out. Can I ride the bike? Will you tell me when I can ride the bike? And Papa's like, of course you can ride it. You can ride it. You're going to ride it. After I teach you the fifth lesson, which is how to ride your bike downhill. And we see Papa at the top of a giant hill. Like, he and Small Bear are nothing at the top of it. They are so far away from us, the reader. Papa and Small Bear are at the top of the hill, and Papa's like, I'm going to teach you how to go down this hill. And Small Bear's like, well, it looks really like a hard thing to do. And Papa's like, yeah, Papa doesn't have any control. There don't seem to be any brakes on this bike anyway. Chicken yard, which I assume is Farmer Ben's, maybe? Chicken yard? Drives through the chicken yard. No, it's not Farmer Ben, because the farmer is visible. He seems to be a wolf or a coyote or a fox of some sort, which is hilarious, I guess, if he's taking care of chickens. But he manages to knock the chickens, the rooster, the cow, the farmer, into the air like 10 pins, like 9 pins, like 8 pins, like bowling pins. He just eradicates these. But this is another good reminder that we are existing in a world of multiple different types of intelligent animals. Because this farmer, not a bear, unless it's some kind of like sloth bear or something, but I can't tell. The farmer is like projected up into the air, arms and legs akimbo, face down. You can't really get a good look at him or her. We don't really know who this farmer is. He goes downhill into a chicken yard. Now he's being chased by the farmer, the bull, and the chickens. And Small Bear is like, am I ever going to get to ride it? Or it's a good rhyme. He says, Dad, please tell me, will I ever get to ride it? Or will I just keep running beside it? Will I, when? Pretty soon, son. But not just yet. There's still one lesson you have to get. And the lesson, he's telling his son this as they're hiding. This is good. So the narration is just the dialogue between Papa and Small Bear. Like, there's no other indication as to what's going on here. It's just between the two of them. And we see them So we don't get a description of the action. So if you were just reading this out loud, you'd get some, you wouldn't know what was happening. And what's happening in the image is they're having this discussion underneath a stone bridge. And the reason they're underneath a stone bridge is because above the stone bridge is the farmer and the chickens and the cow and the rooster looking for them, like running. A visual humor that we don't get in later Berenstain Bears books. This is very like almost like Saturday, like New Yorker magazine kind of humor. It's wry. It's a little dry and sarcastic. The fact that they're having this conversation while hiding for their life. I don't know. I like it. It's good old Stan and Jan comedy. That if you're a kid, you might not even get that that's what's funny about the scene, but I like it. So Papa Bear, our Papa, is like, this is the hardest lessons now. We're going with the hardest lesson now. This is lesson number 6. You have to learn about safety. When you ride a bike, you can't just take any roads you like. You have to take the one you know, and you have to know where the road's going to go. And unfortunately, let me just go back here. Unfortunately, Papa wasn't paying attention. They pass, they're at a crossroads, basically. And Papa goes down the road that looks like it's labeled, it just says road, but part of the sign is broken off, so you can't see what kind of road it is. I assume it says no road, because there's nothing else to stop a person from coming down this road, because the road just ends at a cliff, which Papa Bear drives over. And he's like, see, this is, and he just said, as he's falling, he doesn't scream or yell or beg for help. He just says, see, just don't do this, small bear. This is what you're not supposed to do. Let this be a lesson to you. And small bear says, it was, Dad. This is another good lesson for me. Thank you for teaching me this. He gets a rope out. Don't know where he gets the rope. Ties it around a tree and hauls his papa up. And he says, can I ride the bike now? Can I ride the bike now? And his dad says, you know what? Got one more lesson for you. This is the last. It's just one more thing. And I can teach it fast. You got to stay on the right-hand side of the road. You got to always ride on the right-hand side of the road. Make sure you're on the right-hand side of the road. They're on now. They're on a paved street. There's a truck coming in the other direction. Papa is clearly on the left side of the road. And Small Bear says, but Dad, are you riding on the right-hand side? And Papa Bear says, you know, I would know. I know my left from my right. Here's my hands. My right hand is here. My left hand is there. And he's looking, of course, at the wrong hands. He's like, or am I wrong? Wait, left hand, right hand. And of course, as he's trying to figure out which hand is which, a truck is barreling down. But also, Papa's just not looking. And so he rides across the road into a light pole, which causes a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, at least 11 or 12 car pileup. These cars, by the way, driven by pigs and wolves and other animals, multi-animal community. Papa doesn't even notice. He's too busy staring at his hands and driving into a light pole. Right hand, left hand, right hand side, left side. Small Bear climbs up the pole to save him. He's like, thank you, Papa, for showing me how, but please, 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 can I ride it now? And our last shot, our last image of the book is Small Bear riding Papa Bear home on his handlebars. He says, look, Ma, now I can ride it. See, Dad had some very good lessons for me. And that's the end of the story. And the last image is a beautiful image of the Bear Family Treehouse with the red bike kickstand up by the stairs. That is the Berenstain Bears the bike lesson. That's the bike lesson by Stan and Jan Berenstain. Not the Berenstain Bears and the bike lesson. It's just the bike lesson. Another adventure of the Berenstain Bears. So what have we learned? We learned that riding a bicycle is hard. I don't understand it. It's alienating and it's dismissive of my inability to ride a bicycle. One reason. To remind me of my own inadequacies. What else have we learned? We learned that Papa Bear has now proven himself twice that he's not to be trusted, but that Small Bear trusts him implicitly and also learns valuable lessons by quickly learns. If you want to learn from Papa Bear, just do what he doesn't do, or don't do what he does. The third lesson is that Mama Bear doesn't have a place in the Berenstain Bears world yet, but we're getting there. She's looking on disapprovingly at the very end of the book. That's all we can really ask of her. We also learned that the inventor of the bicycle didn't get credit for many years. So if you have a small child and they're learning to ride with a push bike, just know that's a tribute to the original hobby horse, dandy horse bike. And that's it. That's it. I'm going to cut it off because in all kinds of ways, my sound is cutting in and out. I don't know why. I'm happy that I'm looking at the sound waves as I record, because it's just deciding at times to just not record me. And then sometimes it'll just play a bunch of interference. I don't understand what's happening. I've never had this kind of trouble before, but it is impacting my happiness and my ability to record properly. But that is the Berenstain Bears. That's the bike lesson. Did you like it? I'm going to keep doing these. I'm going to keep doing these flashbacks because I only have a few books left and none of them have been published yet, or they're about Mother's Day or Father's Day. So that's the end of my happiness right there. I'm closing in on the end of the Berenstain Bears. We have a wonderful book coming up though. Fingers crossed it'll get here soon so that I can record an episode with Brad and Jeremy. It's a new Berenstain publication. Featuring original Stan and Jan cartoons that Mike has decided to publish and print on demand. So if you want, go to the Berenstain Bears official website, go to their official Instagram page. There's more information there with a link to where you can purchase the new book. We'll be doing a full review of it and a full look at it as soon as it gets here. So don't worry. It should be on its way soon. Otherwise, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to try to cut out of here before my sound cuts off again. And I'll see you all next time deep in bear country.